This is Rick Gentry. I want to thank everybody for listening today to Preaching Sunday on BPNRadio.com. I'm very excited to introduce to you from the great state of Texas, Donald Brown. Here's Donald.
Well, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord for 2019. We just thank God for each of you that are here with us here in 2019. We want to give a special shout out to our dear friend and pastor, Dale, and his beautiful wife, Jean Gentry. We are so happy to be a part of what God is doing in the year of 2019. I also want to thank God for my dearest and closest friend, my co-pastor, Barry Smith, and his dear wife, Laura. They are missionaries to Belize. I want to say to each of you today that I believe that 2019 is going to be a year of super abundant supply. And because I believe that, I want to take today and I want to just minister to you from that in your areas of lack. And I believe that God is going to work in each of your lives and my life to bring the super abundant supply in areas and in ways that we never dreamt or expected. So I say to each of you today, for those of you that want desire to get this message or a podcast, subscribe to our podcast, please get in touch with Rick Gentry at bpnradio@gmail.com and subscribe to our podcast. So let's get into the message today. I want to title this Super Abundant Supply in Your Areas of Lack. Those of you that have your Bibles, if you would turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 4 and verse 19. And I know that this is a familiar verse to most of us, but I want to use that as my reference to my subject. Verse 19 says, And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So look at it like this. Think on it like this. Are you facing a lack in any area of your life, be it finances, health, or relationships? Well, know that in that very same area, God has already prepared his superabundant supply, which will abound toward you. And on top of that, his grace and more of his grace. You see, in John 6, 1 through 13, Jesus was with a large crowd of people who were hungry. And the problem then was a lack of food. But Jesus knew that where there is lack, there is superabundant supply in his Father's kingdom to overcome that lack. His disciples, however, didn't know that. They didn't think the same way as Jesus did. They told him that there was a boy with five loaves and two small fish, but they didn't think that he would amount to anything. They said, well, what are the five loaves and two fishes among so many? According to John 6 and 9. You see, they saw only the problem, the lack. But Jesus took the little, lifted it up as he looked to heaven and gave thanks to his Father who supplies so much more than we can ever ask or think. So when Jesus started distributing the little that was in his hands, a miracle happened. 5,000 men, not counting women and children, ate as much as they wanted and for as long as they were hungry. You see, the supply kept flowing as long as the need was there. And after they were so filled, there were 12 baskets full of leftovers. You see, that is God's super abundant supply. You see, in God's kingdom, there is no such thing as the Father not having enough or not wanting to give abundantly to his children. No, what he does is he promises that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You see, my friends, God wants us to always be conscious of his grace, abounding toward us and enveloping us. So let us look at Jesus. Let's look like Jesus, acknowledging God's superabundant supply by thanking him for it and for whatever is in our hands. Let us believe that his superabundant supply will flow and multiply the little that we have and fill us up to overflow. You see, it reminds me that ever since Jesus cried, "It is finished," according to John 19 and 30, God unleashed the flood tide of grace upon this world, and that grace has been flowing ever since. And whatever you need today, my friends, whatever you need today, Christ has already supplied it through the cross. You can tell him yourself, "Man, whatever the situation I'm in, God's supply is there." You see, we have to understand something. Are we demand or supply orientated? In other words, do you know that I asked the Lord once that what it meant to live under grace? He said, "When you are conscious of my constant supply to you, you are living under grace. Conversely, when you are conscious of the demand put on you to achieve, you are living under the law." Simply put, the principle of grace is supply, while the principle of the law is demand. You see, the law says, you shall not, you shall. But under grace, God says, "I will, I will, I will," according to Hebrews 8, 10 through 12. Can you see the difference? You see, under grace, God is the one doing all the doing and supplying, not you. Praise God that this is our relationship with him under the new covenant of grace. You see, when you are demand-orientated, you see everything as a demand placed on you. "I must do this. I must do that." The result, you feel stressed and pressurized to perform, meet people's expectation and achieve results. But when you are living under grace, you see the rich supply from God's providing whatever you need for your situation despite the demands. The result, you walk in peace and always see God's provision because your eyes are focused on his unfailing supply. As we deal with life on a day-to-day basis, we can be demand-orientated or supply-orientated. So let me ask you, are you demand-orientated or supply-orientated? You see, when we can be supply-conscious, you will see God work miracles in your life. Not long ago, I toured a historical studio with my family, and while we was having some food at a food court, you know, a lady who worked there walked right up and she greeted me. Pastor, how you doing?" And so I said, "Well, hey, hi, how you doing?" And she said, "Wow, I'm so glad to see you here." And she walked with me a little and then said, "You know, Pastor, I've been having this pain in my back for the past few days. And I prayed and asked God to send me someone, and he sent you. Will you please pray for me?" And I looked around me. The setting wasn't right. There wasn't anointed worship music playing in the background. And in fact, the food court was so noisy with the chatter of people and the chatter of culture and cookery. I thought to myself, "You want me to pray for you here now?" Then I remembered what the Lord had been telling me about being supply orientated. So I stood up, placed my hands gently on her elbow and said, "Lord, I just thank you for your supply of grace. I just thank you that there is more grace here than her pain. And I just thank you that you are healing her back now, adjusting and restoring whatever needs adjusting and restoring. You don't have to wait, you see, for the right time or place or external circumstances when it comes to asking and receiving from God, you see. Simply look away from the demand, see a supply, and receive by grace what you need. No fanfare, no feeling Holy Ghost bumps or running up and down and my arms, just a simple, honest prayer. And in the midst of the setting of that ordinary noisy food court, I just saw the supply there for her healing. And after praying for this precious lady, I said to her, okay, don't worry about the pain anymore. Don't be conscious of it. Just ignore it. The Lord has healed you already. She thanked me, went on talking about her family and other things. And all of a sudden, she said excitingly, oh, hey, it's gone. The pain that's been here for a number of days is gone. I remember just standing there, looking at her, warmed by God's love for that dear lady, and amazed at the sheer simplicity of his grace toward us. So you see, my friend, right in the ordinariness of everyday life, you can receive from the supply that is constantly flowing toward you. So the question, do you need healing today? Do you need wisdom today? Place for a peace for a troubled heart. You can receive it right now if you can see his supply all around you, giving you what you need. Doesn't matter where you find yourself. You don't have to wait for the right time, place, or external circumstances when it comes to asking and receiving from God. Simply look away from the demand, see his supply, and receive by grace what you need. You see, grace oversupplies your need. You see, Jesus walked in supply consciousness. In the account of the feeding of the 5,000, we see how the Lord was clearly conscious of having supply in the face of scarcity. According to John 6, 1 through 13, when Jesus saw the 5 loaves and 2 small fishes, unlike his disciples, he didn't see the impossible demand placed on him, feeding more than 5,000 hungry people and with a boy's small lunch. He saw the supply. His disciples, on the other hand, saw the demand. It bothered them so much that they urged him to send the people home. They were concerned that they did not have enough food for everyone, nor did they have enough money to buy that much food. Because Jesus saw the supply, he was able to thank the Father for the little that he had was in his hands, and the little multiplied and multiplied and kept on multiplying. Not only were the people fed till their bellies were bulging, but there was also 12 baskets full of leftovers. What an awesome miracle. You see, when grace supplies, it's always exceedingly abundantly and above all you can ever ask or imagine, according to Ephesians 3 and 20. Now, pause and think about this for a moment. Are you facing a 5 loaves and 2 small fish situation in your life right now? Is there a situation of scarcity in your finances or family life? Are you struggling to find enough time to get your work done as well as spend quality time with your family? You see, whatever your area of lack, take some time to saturate your heart and mind with the largeness of God's heart and supply toward you. See, the abundance Jesus wants to bless you with instead of your impossible situation, and receive his supply with 12 baskets full of leftover in every area of insufficiency. You see, the reason for our supply is, well, do you know why we can see the supplies all around us? You see, it's not because we are good or deserving. It's because 2,000 years ago, a lonely and beaten beyond recognition figure hung on Calvary's cross. Jesus chose to take our place and become a curse for us. Bearing our sins and our curse, he was cut off from all the blessings of God. He was cursed so that we can be blessed. He cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? According to Matthew 27 and 46. So that today, you and I can say, my Father, why have you so blessed me? He was in darkness so that we can be in eternal light. He took all that we deserve so that we can be supplied with all, with and receive all that he deserves all the time. You see, when we can understand that grace supplies because love is always giving, my friend, it's not hard to understand how the grace of God is always supplying when you love, when you know that the essence of God's him, of God himself is love, and that love gives. You see, the Bible says in two places that God is love, 1 John 4, 8 and 16. Interestingly, though, the Hebrew word for love is made up of three Hebrew letters, Alpha, He, and Bet. Not that Hebrew reads from right to left, but you see, if you remove the middle letter, He, which stands for grace, you get alphabet, which is the Hebrew word for father. In other words, but hey, which is grace, back in the center of the word for father, and you get back the word for love. Can you see it? In the midst of your father's heart is love. The father's all about love. Now, what does love do? Well, according to John 3:16, tells us this, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Love gives. Love doesn't take. Love gives. In fact, love gives more than you can take. So God, who is defined as love and to personalities or to personify perfect love, is always giving, giving, giving. If you need the gospel, you'll find that during his earthly ministry, God the Son was always giving. You see, Jesus meant every word he said when he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many, according to Matthew 20 and 28. So even in his glorified, resurrected form in heaven, he remains a servant forever, signifying by the golden grill around his waist, according to Revelations 1 and 13. Yes, he is Lord of lords, King of kings, but according to his word, he is also a servant who delights in serving and giving to you and I. You see, it's a personal touch. Throughout the gospel, you'll always find Jesus preaching, teaching, and healing, and he often gave more than just health when he healed the sick. I'm reminded of the poor leper who came to the Lord and asked him to make him clean. The leper must have, you know, been desperate. He not only broke the law when he left the leper colony to look for Jesus, but he was also risking his life because he could have been stoned to death for breaking the law and endangering the life or the health of others. You see, when the leper met Jesus, he worshiped him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. I'm so glad that Jesus didn't deal with him according to the demands of the law. He didn't say, how dare you break the rabbinical law and come up out into the open? You are a sinner. You are unclean. And get lost before the people stone you to death. No, 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 no. His grace was flowing abundantly toward the man. His supply of healing was there for the taking. So filled with compassion and unconditional love, Jesus put out his hand and touched the leper, saying, I am willing, be cleansed. And immediately, the man was all was healed, according to Matthew 8, 1 through 3. Now notice something. Notice that Jesus touched the leper first before he healed him. Now, Why is this significant? Simply put, that simple touch restored a sense of humanity and dignity to that man who had not been touched for a long time because of his unclean and probably physical repulsive condition. No one wanted to touch him, let alone embrace or kiss him. He himself could not touch, hug, or kiss his loved ones. Can you imagine what that does to the self-esteem and sanctity of a human being? You see, Jesus alone understood that he had not just been sick, but also alienated and dehumanized. See, I want you to see that love gave the man more than just health. Jesus knew that the leper needed more than just physical healing, so he gave above and beyond what the leper had hoped for. And besides health, Jesus gave him back his dignity and the joy of being able to embrace and be embraced by his friends and loved ones. Again, we see the oversupply of love and grace of the Lord. You see, love always gives more than what you can ask. That's the thing about Jesus. When he gives, he always oversupplies. He doesn't know how to give you just enough. We see this again when he healed the man with the withered hand in Luke 6:6-10. When everyone else around them saw only the hopelessness of the situation, Jesus saw the supply for the man to be made whole. He saw heaven's supply for healing all around that man and his withered hand. And that withered hand became replaced with a whole healthy one. In the Gospel of Luke, it says that it was the man's right hand that was withered. Now, whether or not he was right-handed, losing the use of one hand must have greatly affected his ability to make a living. And when a person can't really make a living, when he can't provide enough for his family, he loses the respect of others, even his loved ones. So when Jesus healed the man, he gave the man more than just a new right hand. He gave him back his livelihood, and with that, his self-worth and the respect of others. That's my Jesus. That's the style with which he loves us and supplies our needs. So you see, my friend, maybe you need a breakthrough today. Maybe you're discouraged because you feel that your situation is hopeless. Or like the two men in the above accounts, maybe you suffer from a physical condition and want to see healing and restoration. Listen. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The same way he had compassion on the leper and the man with the withered hand and oversupply their needs is the same way he has compassion on you and I and wants you to experience his oversupply. So don't focus on the hopelessness of your situation. Instead, see the oversupply of grace and expect God to give to you beyond your wildest imagination. You see, faith takes from the greater one. In other words, the Lord said this to me one day. Grace supplies, love gives, faith takes. What does faith take? Or what does faith do? Faith takes. That's our part as believers. Our part is to take. I'm not talking about greed. I'm talking about understanding what faith simply is. Faith is the hand that takes from the hand of God. You see, you may say, well, but Pastor, the Bible says that it is more blessed to give, according to Acts 20:35. Yes, that's true when it comes to our relationship with man. With our fellow man, it is more blessed to give than to receive. But when it comes to God, we please him when we receive from him. The Bible says that the lesser is always blessed by the greater, according to Hebrews 7:7. Obviously, between God and us, God will always be the greater one. So when we humble ourselves and take our place as the receiver, we are letting God be God in our lives, and he loves that. Well, Pastor, what about giving to God and to others? Isn't that important, my friend? When you are blessed by God, when you experience his love and unmerited favor, you can't help but want to serve him and bless others. It's when we remember that it all came from him first that we'll be giving to and serving him and others out of the right spirit. Like David will say, "For all things come from you, and of your own we have given you," according to 1 Chronicles 29:14. So our problem with faith, like Jesus' disciples, is that we take too little from the Lord. What did Jesus usually say to his disciples when he scolded them? He usually said, "Oh, you of little faith." Little faith? What was Jesus telling them in essence? Now, I believe that he was telling them that I'm so full of supply. Why do you take so little from me? Even Jesus scolding of his disciple is so full of love and encouragement. Notice, he didn't say, "Oh, you of little fasting," or "Oh, you of little prayer." He said, "Oh, you of little faith." He was telling them, "Draw more from me. Take more from my supply." Oh, what a beautiful Savior we have. So, my friend, our faith is small when we take only a little from God. When we take little from him for our needs, we must be taking from somewhere else. This means that our faith is in someone or something else, and God is just a standby or last resort. That should not be the case. God should always come first. Man will fail and disappoint you, but God will never. And typically, most of us are not good receivers. When you give someone a gift, you often hear them say, "Oh, no, you shouldn't have. I don't deserve this." We all need to ask God to make us better receivers, to enlarge our capacity to receive, not based on how deserving we think we are, but based solely on his grace to supply and give. Let us pray. Father, bless us and protect us. Smile on us and be gracious to us, Father. Show us your favor and give us your peace. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
You've been listening to Donald Brown today on Preaching Sunday. For more information, contact one of our team members at breakoutprayernetwork.com or visit us at bpnradio.com. Sure appreciate everybody listening today. Thank you.